ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast. This is episode number 9. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help confront from a biblical perspective the tragic epidemic of suicide in our world today, which has even seen a serious spate of self-professing Christians in positions of ministerial leadership, namely pastors, take their own lives. The World Health Organization estimates that each year approximately 1 million people die from suicide, which represents a global mortality rate of 16 people per 100,000, or one death every 40 seconds. Allow me to go back and touch on this spate of pastors and associate pastors killing themselves. Personally, I believe it is an attack of Satan against the testimony of the church. I believe that the devil is behind it, to discredit the church and to discredit the gospel. And I also believe that these so-called pastors, and I can't even say in most cases, I just believe in all cases, that they did not truly know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I'm not God, God knoweth. But I just cannot imagine a person being saved and having Jesus living on the inside of them, and they choose to kill themselves. That is not what I know about Jesus Christ. What I know about Jesus Christ is that he's all about life and resurrection, not death, not suicide. But that's my take on it. And so, as I continue, it is predicted that by this year, which was 2020, this is when we started this podcast, the rate of death by suicide will increase to one every 20 seconds. As the Apostle James wrote in his epistle, if you would allow me to use his words, as he was dealing with a different subject and a different matter, however, he said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Our scripture passage for this episode of the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast is Judges chapter 16, verses 28 to 30, which says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up. Of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Our featured quote for this episode of the How to Be Saved from Suicide podcast is from Curtis Thompson. Curtis Thomas. He said, "My experience with depressed people is that when they have suffered from long periods of depression and begin to talk about suicide, we had better pay attention." In this podcast, we are going through the fine book, Preventing Suicide, a handbook for pastors, chaplains, and pastoral counselors by Dr. Karen Mason. We continue today with chapter 1. Titled, Who Dies by Suicide, Part 2. Which groups die by suicide? Let's start with surveillance to discover which groups experience more suicide and suicide attempts. Age. On the evening news, we hear about teens like Phoebe Prince, who was bullied and took her own life. And we know that suicide is a serious problem for teens. In 2010, in the United States, suicide was the third leading cause of death among 10 to 14-year-olds. The third leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds, and the second leading cause of death among 25 to 34-year-olds. Suicide is a serious problem for teens because psychiatric illnesses and suicidal behavior start to emerge as a serious concern in the 10 to 14-year-old age group, and suicide attempts are highest in adolescence and young adulthood. But when we look at the number of people who actually die, people in the middle years of life are at higher risk. In 2010, 4,600 young people in the 15 to 24-year-old age group died by suicide, while 6,571 35 to 44-year-olds, 8,799 45 to 54-year-olds, and 6,384 55 to 64-year-olds took their own lives. Even young children think about suicide, and though rare, die by suicide. In 2010, 7 U.S. children in the 5 to 9-year-old age range died by suicide. Researchers have found that preschool children aged 2.5 to 5 years old think about an attempt to suicide. My. Jane told me that her earliest memory of a suicidal thought was of holding a knife to her stomach around age 3 or 4. Let me say here, with all of this bad news about suicide, I thank God I've never thought about killing myself in my entire life. So that's some good news. And I hope you have the same testimony. We can talk about these numbers in a different way if we look at the rates for these different groups. The suicide rate is simply the number of people in a group who die by suicide divided by the larger number of people in that group, and standardized by multiplying by 100,000 to permit meaningful comparisons between groups. When we look at suicide rates, we discover that 45 to 54 year olds had the highest rate of suicide in 2010. There were 19.55 suicide deaths per 100,000 compared to 12.43 suicide deaths per 100,000 Americans of all ages. The second highest rate occurred in the 85 plus age range. That is hard to believe. 17.62 per 100,000. With the 55 to 64-year-old age range a close third, 17.50 per 100,000, 0.13. The rate for the oldest Americans is especially unexpected because older adults made up 13% of the 2010 population. But presented 15.6% of suicide deaths. So how does this information help us identify Jim or Joan in our faith community, or rather in our church? By reminding us not to exclude anyone. Every age group thinks about and dies by suicide, very sadly. If we pay particular attention to middle-aged congregants and do not remain alert to warning signs among other age groups, we might miss people who need our help. Now, sex. Almost 4 times more men than women die by suicide each year. In 2010, in the United States, 30,277 died by suicide compared to 8,087 females. So it's 30,277 men died by suicide compared to 8,087 females. The suicide rate for males was 19.95 per 100,000 compared to 5.15 per 100,000 for females. Again, I'm in that number of people who have never thought of taking their own lives. And I give God the glory for that. So that's some good news among this bad news. But more women than men attempt suicide. Women made up 57% of all people treated for non-fatal self-harm. In a U.S. hospital emergency department in 2010. Of the 464,995 people with non-fatal self-harm injuries treated, 199,204 were men with a rate of 131.67 per 100,000 and 265,727,000. were women with a rate of 180.59 per 100,000. Males, many theories exist about why more men die by suicide than women. One is that men use firearms. In 2010, 56% of men who died by suicide used firearms, as opposed to 30% of women. In that same year, percent of suicide deaths involving firearms were men, perhaps related to the fact that three times more men than women own a gun. A striking characteristic of most people contemplating suicide is their ambivalence. A part of them wants to die, and often another part wants to find reasons to live. William Cowper, a Christian hymnist, planned to overdose on the narcotic laudanum, but experienced this ambivalence when he brought a vial of laudanum to his mouth 20 times and each time set it back down. Distracted between the desire for death and the dread of it, Kevin Hines, who suffers from bipolar disorder and who started hearing voices in high school, jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge in 2000. As soon as he jumped, he realized he did not want to die. Miraculously, he survived. Another example of someone who survived is Ken Baldwin, who jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge and then realized his ambivalence. I instantly realized that everything in my life that I thought was unfixable was totally fixable, except for having just jumped. A woman may swallow pills and then suddenly realize she wants to live. She can pick up the phone and dial 911 for help. But a man using a firearm has little opportunity for a second thought or a second chance. I am not suggesting that women are more ambivalent, but I am highlighting a gender difference in method. If a woman uses a method that allows the desire to live, to emerge, she may be more likely to survive an attempt than a man who uses a firearm. Other theories attempting to explain why more men die by suicide include the cultural script theory, which suggests that masculinity is associated with killing oneself and femininity with non-fatal attempts. Another theory is that men have higher substance abuse rates, which are related to greater impulsivity and impaired judgment, as well as problems in relationships. Men fall in love earlier in a relationship, they cling longer to a dying love, and three times as many men as women die by suicide after a failed intimate relationship. Schneiden cites this suicide note written by a 31-year-old separated male. "Forgive me, for today I die. I just cannot live without you. I might as well be dead. Maybe there will be peace. I have this empty feeling inside me that is killing me. I just can't take it anymore. When you left me, I died on the inside. I have to say, nothing left but the broken heart that is leading me into this. I cry to God to help me, but He doesn't listen. There is nothing else for me to do. Another circumstance that may help explain why men may have higher suicide rates is incarceration. In 2010, men made up about 88% of jail inmates. Suicide is the leading cause of jail deaths. And the second leading cause of prison deaths following illnesses. A jail holds people awaiting a trial or those sentenced for a short duration. A prison holds people convicted of crimes serving longer terms. Most jail suicides occur during the inmate's first week after admission, either on the date of admission or the next. Plus, a recent release from prison increases people suicide risk, and an association may exist between committing crimes and suicide. Murderers have a suicide rate several hundred times greater than people of the same age and sex who have not committed murder, and people found guilty of violent and impulsive crimes, such as arsonists, have a very high incidence of violent suicide attempts. Aggression and suicide are related. And I believe that there's demon activity involved. Another theory is that men are more apt to be fearless or acquire the fearlessness, if you will, required to go against the self-preservation instinct. Voltaire wrote, "None but a strong man can surmount the most powerful instinct of nature." And Thomas Joyner has theorized that suicidal people develop the ability to harm themselves through practice. With an escalating trajectory toward more and more serious and potentially lethal attempts. This theory is consistent with the finding that people who have previously attempted suicide are up to 40 times more likely to die by suicide. Joyner believes that men have more opportunity to acquire the ability to enact lethal self-injury through more exposure to guns, to physical fights, to violent sports, or suicide by cop, and I'm adding that, like boxing and football, into self-injecting drug use. Acquired fearlessness may also help explain suicides among servicemen and women and veterans. As a former Special Forces officer who served multiple combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan explained, "We know what death looks like, and we're comfortable with it. And dear friends, if the Lord tarries is coming and we live, we will continue looking at this important subject in our next episode." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you will give people the spiritual, mental, and physical strength that they need to overcome the demons of suicide and help them to understand that if they trust in you, everything will be all right. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.